We started speaking on waging spiritual warfare successfully, or how to wage spiritual warfare successfully. We're going to read our foundation scripture that is found in 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10, we're going to read from verse 3. We laid the foundation on this subject last week. If you were here, I explained to us what spiritual warfare is, and I also explained why you need to wage spiritual warfare. Let's read our foundation scripture, 2 Corinthians 10, from verse 3. Are you there? God's word says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons, so that means we have weapons, amen, the weapons of our warfare, that means we're in a warfare, are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty, someone say mighty, mighty through God, to the pulling down of what? Strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of what? Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is what? Many of us are not reading it. Amen, somebody. We're going to read verse 6 again. 1, 2, go. And having in a readiness to revenge all what? When your obedience is what? I want us to read it again. There's the benefit that comes by reading. Amen. He says, and having in a readiness to revenge what? When your obedience is what? Like I said, I've been speaking on the subject of waging spiritual warfare successfully, or how to wage a spiritual warfare successfully. There's a way you can wage your war spiritually and you can win. And there's a way you wage war spiritually that does not make you a winner. This message is very, very important for many reasons. That time will not allow me to mention today. But I wanted to know that this is perhaps one of the most important messages you can ever hear. Because this is an area whereby a lot of children of God are challenged. When it comes to spiritual warfare, you see people putting on different kind of attitudes, different kind of disposition. In fact, some people behave as if to say spiritual warfare is not real. And some people who acknowledge that spiritual warfare is real, you see that they have already taken up an attitude of defeat. Many people don't see themselves as being capable or strong enough to withstand the plans of Satan. But I want you to know, without any atom of doubt, just like a way of refreshing our minds and our memory, this warfare that we are talking about is not a physical warfare. Amen? It's a warfare that takes place in the unseen realm. It's a warfare that takes place in the spirit realm. And I want you to know that God has prepared you and I adequately for this battle. God's intention is for you to win, and you will win in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14 says, now thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. So that tells me that God wants us to be victorious. In fact, 1 John 5, verse 4 says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So you need to know how to wage your warfare spiritually. You need to know how to fight your spiritual battles if you are going to win. And God's intention is for you to win, but there's a way to fight. Stop it and say, there's a way to fight. You don't fight Satan carnally. You don't fight Satan, in the realm of the flesh. You can't win. If you fight him from the fleshly, from the human point of view, you cannot win him. There's a better way of dealing with Satan. Amen. And you're going to be seeing in this series the strategies that God has prepared for us to make us a winner. And I'm confident that you will win in Jesus' mighty name. Say like somebody who is, ready to say, I will win in Jesus' name. Now, I want to do something tonight. Two things by the special grace of God. I want to share with you certain things you need to know and understand about spiritual warfare. Now, this information, these truths is vitally important if you are going to be a winner. If you are going to succeed in your spiritual warfare, it's important to have this information. It is important to know these truths. You know, Jesus said in John 8 verse 32, the truth that you know shall what? So I'm going to mention 7 of them. This is very important. These are things that you must understand about spiritual warfare if you are going to win at all. The first one that I'm going to mention is spiritual warfare is real. Don't let anybody deceive you that spiritual warfare does not exist. I want you to know without any hint of doubt that spiritual warfare is a reality. Tap it and say it's a reality. What do I mean by that? The warfare between the forces of good and the forces of evil are real. If anybody ever told you that it doesn't exist, that person is not being sincere with you. There's a story in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10 verse 7 to 17. You see that Daniel went before the Lord, was seeking the face of the Lord in fasting and prayer, and the answer was delayed. And God sent one of his personal angels to tell Daniel the reason why there was a delay. 21 days delay. Say 21 days, somebody. Now, he told them, the first day you prayed, your prayer was answered. But he said, the prince of Persia. Now, he's not talking about a physical entity there. Amen, somebody. He's talking about a spiritual what? Entity. If you look at Ephesians 6, verse 12, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities. Against what? Powers. Against what? Rulers of what? Darkness of what? Hello, somebody in the house? There are rulers of what? Darkness of this world. Prince over nations, or princes over nations. Princes over territories, over states. Hello? Now, listen. The earlier you know this, the better. Spiritual warfare is real. I don't know where people get this impression that spiritual warfare is not real. And I think it's a strategy of Satan to distract, to derail Christians from facing their real opponent. Tap your neighbor, say spiritual warfare is real. And tell your neighbor, say you need to be prepared for it. I think I told you last time of a story of there was a lady in the service. As the service was going on, God opened the eyes of the spirit. In the eyes of the spirit, she saw how a fat woman was sitting on the neck of somebody who was sleeping in the service. Amen. Hello, somebody in the house. There are things that takes place spiritually. Amen, somebody. And you need, listen, if you are looking at this world from the natural point of view, you are dealing with one third of the truth. Amen, somebody. Because there's a spiritual realm. Amen, somebody else. I said there's a spiritual realm. That's why 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3 says, it says, though we walk where? In the flesh, we are not what? Warring against the flesh. There's a warfare that is going on. Amen, somebody. And you need to know that spiritual warfare is real. If you understood what I said, say amen, somebody. Very important. Number two. Second thing you must understand about spiritual warfare is this, that whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, you are in this warfare. Listen. You did not do anything. The only thing that you did, or the only thing that we did, rather, that qualifies us for this warfare is that we were born to this world. Hello? Job 14 verse 1, that is this man that is of few days, or born of a woman, is of few days, yet full of trouble. That's to tell you that, you see, what I'm telling you is this, whether you are born again or not born again, whether you are saved or not saved, whether you are single or married, you are in a state of warfare. That's the reality. And the earlier you know this, that's what that scripture says in Ephesians 6 verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What does that mean? Our warfare is not against people with flesh and blood. It does not deny the fact that we are not in a warfare. Rather, it's telling you the nature of your warfare. There's a warfare going on. Amen, somebody. Do you know that a warfare going on over your destiny? Warfare's going on over your business? Warfare going over your spiritual life? That's why you can't afford to be complacent. I've seen people who were in a position of power and strength and they fell. Why? They did not take heed. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12 says, he that thinketh he standeth, to what? Take heed lest. Listen, there's nobody who cannot fall. If you don't take heed, you can fall. It doesn't matter how long you have been the Lord. Do you observe, or have you observed, that when people begin to get careless, when people begin to give excuses, you discover that they begin to lose their grip on things. I used to tell people this. The fact that you are speaking in tongues does not mean that you and God are, or you are on the same level that God expects you to be. Backslidiness does not start in the, backslidiness is something that does not happen in one day. It's a gradual process. So look at your neighbor and tap him and say, take heed. Take heed simply means be careful. Amen, somebody. Everybody needs to be courteous. Everybody needs to watch. You need to watch. The Bible says, watch and pray. Lest what? You enter into temptation. Matthew 26, verse 41. So it's very important you understand that whether you believe it or not, whether you know it or not, we're in a warfare. Amen, somebody. Number three, there is no in-between in this warfare. What does that mean? Listen, there are only two camps. There are only two territories. Kingdom of God. Kingdom of what? Satan. Kingdom of light. Kingdom of what? That there is no neutrality. There's not like, well, you see, I'm not on God's side. And I'm not on what? The devil said, I am just standing in the middle. You know, somebody was saying this to me years ago. He said, I am standing JJO. I'm not looking for the devil's trouble. And I said, whether you look for the devil's trouble or not, he's going to come and look for what? So there's nothing like I'm in the middle. At least you should understand I'm in the middle. There's no neutrality. Amen, somebody. It's either you on God's side or on the side of the enemy. Exodus 32 verse 36. What does he say? I mean, Moses told the children of Israel, he says, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. So there is a division, there's a dichotomy between light and darkness. And listen, light and darkness are not the same. So ask your neighbor, on whose side are you? Or on which side are you? Because that's important. The side you are determines your outcome. Because if you are not on God's side, amen, somebody, If you are standing between, your chances of victory are slim. If you want to be victorious, you have to be on the winning side. Ask your neighbor, say, are you on the winning side? Say, I don't know about you, but I am on the winning side. How many winners are in the house tonight? Can I have a shout of victory in the house? So please, know or note, there are no what? In-betweens. No in-betweens in this warfare. Number four. The fourth thing I want you to understand about spiritual warfare is that you have been adequately equipped for this battle. You have been what? Adequately. There is no child of God that God has not given enough ammunition, enough weapons, enough equipment to fight this battle. You see, God is a good God and the devil is a bad devil. How do you know that? God is a good God. I mean, God has not left you open to the attack of the enemy without any protection. Top your enemy say, I am well protected. Listen, we have weapons. We have powerful ammunitions. We have a powerful armory. And listen, if you look at our text scripture, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, what does he say? He says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not what? Come on, talk to me. We do not what? If you are sure about it, let me hear you. We do not what? Now, look at verse 4. For the weapons of what? So that means you have what? Tap him and say, do you know you have weapons? So when you see a believer saying that I am powerless, they are lying. They are not powerless. Listen, the Bible says you have weapons. Are you a powerless person there? No. The weapons of what? Our warfare. They are not carnal. They are not physical, fleshly weapons. It says they are what? Mighty. Say mighty. Sometimes you say, I've got mighty weapons. What does that mean? You have powerful weapons. Powerful. Do you know that there are levels of weaponry? Amen, somebody. Somebody carrying a pistol is different from somebody carrying a submachine gun. I hope you know. Somebody carrying a submachine gun will destroy somebody carrying a pistol in a matter of few. You know what I'm talking about? They are not on the same level. Listen, our weapons are powerful. For you to know how powerful they are, the Bible says they are so powerful they can pull down strongholds. The word pulling down actually means destruction or demolition. Strongholds. It does not only pull down strongholds, it says casting down what? Imaginations. That's how powerful it is. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of what? And the Bible says, bringing into captivity. Your weapons can bring into captivity every thought to the subjection of Christ. Glory be to God. Look at your neighbor and tap and say, you are equipped for this battle. Listen, our weapons are not ordinary. Our weapons are powerful. And let me also add this. They are not just powerful. They are sophisticated. Listen, in case you are wondering, what kind of weapons do I have? If you go to Ephesians 6 from verse 11 down to verse 18, it gives us seven of those weapons. That's not all, though. Amen, somebody. That's not all the weapons you have. There are other weapons. Amen, somebody. I said amen, somebody. There are other weapons. But if you look at Ephesians 6, I'm trying to save my time because I want to go to the other part of this message today. It mentions seven. It talks about the girdle of truth. Say truth. It talks about what? The breastplate of righteousness. It's the breastplate of righteousness. It talks about what again? It talks about the gospel of what? Peace. Listen. That's why preaching the good news, preaching the good news about Jesus is a powerful weapon that you have. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of what? peace is part of your weapon. It now talks about what? It talks about the shield of what? Of faith. A protective weapon. It talks about the element of what? Salvation. That covers what? Your head. Then it talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. The other weapon it talks about is prayer. Verse 18, the last one. But you see, that's not the only weapon you have. If you read other places in the Bible, you see some other weapons. Weapons like what? The name of Jesus. The Bible says He has given us a name that is what? Above every other name. That at the mention of the name of Jesus, how many things we bound? Not just the name of Jesus. The Bible also talks about the blood of Jesus. The word of your confession. Revelation 12 verse 11. What does it say? It says we overcame Him by what? By the blood of the Lamb and by the what? The word of your testimony. These are weapons that you have. Amen. Tap your number and say, I've got dangerous weapons. There are several other weapons that time will not allow me to mention, but the truth of the matter is that you have been equipped for this battle. Some of them say, I've been equipped for this battle. The name of Jesus belongs to you. You have the Holy Spirit. That's another powerful weapon. You have the anointing. Amen, somebody. Listen, love is a weapon. Love. The love of God is a weapon. You know, somebody was saying this, and I talked about it, and it's true. If you look at those weapons, there's something for the head, there's something for your chest, there's something for your loins, there's something for your leg, there's something for your hand, there's something for your shield, but if you look at your back, there's nothing there. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody. That's where love comes in. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody in the house. The love of God is a shield, is a protector against you. Amen, somebody. I mean, from your back end. That's why walking in love is so powerful. And another reason why there's nothing there for the back of your back is that God does not expect you to run away from the enemy. God expects you what? To face the enemy. Because if you start running, you make this place what? Vulnerable. So tap your neighbor and say, God expects you to face the battles. Tap your neighbor and say, God expects you to face the battles. You know why I expect you? Because He has equipped you adequately. The reason for running away will probably be, oh, he's not well equipped. But we're well equipped. Tap your neighbor and say, you are well equipped for this battle. You have every ammunition, you have every weapon, you have every gadget you can think of. These are dangerous weapons, amen, somebody, that the enemy cannot withstand. And I declare over you tonight, these weapons will put you over in your spiritual battles, spiritual warfare, in the name of Jesus. If you believe that, can I have a better amen? Number five, we're laying a foundation. Things you need to understand and know about spiritual warfare. Satan has already been defeated and subdued. Don't forget that he is our arch enemy. He is our opponent. Amen. Satan is a defeated foe. Jesus has accomplished the victory for you and I. That's why the Bible says, having spoiled, Colossians 2:15. He's not going to spoil, he has already spoiled it. Colossians 2:15, having spoiled principality and powers, he made an open show of them doing what? Triumphing over them in it. So Tapir never said, the devil is under my feet. 1 John 4 verse 4 says, you are of God, little children, and you have what? Overcome them. Not going to overcome them. Top of them and say, I am a world overcomer. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, God did not set us up. He didn't set us up for destruction. Are you in the house tonight? It's not a wicked father. He has dealt with the enemy of our soul. You know, the Bible says Satan goeth about walking like what? A roaring lion. But we know the real lion. I said we know the real lion. We know the fake one.
We know the real one.
Is anybody in the house here? Tapping them and say, do you know the real man? Who's the real lion? The lion of what? The tribe of Judah. So we know that Satan is a fake. Is a counterfeit. Feet rather. The Bible says he walketh about like what? He's not the lion. He's trying to be. The reason he will take some people unawares is because of what? Ignorance. They don't know that Jesus, the Son of God, is the real lion. You know that one of the greatest tools of Satan is deception. That's one of his powerful tools. Deceptions, lies. Not only that, fear. If the devil can strike fear into your heart. Listen, he has succeeded in planting a seed. I had to tell someone recently, a blessing that the person has been expecting. And when the person came to break the news to me about the blessing, I said, wow, beautiful. This is what we have been expecting. He said, but I'm afraid. I said, afraid of what? He said, I pray that the pregnancy will go down. I said, it's not possible. He said, well, he said, something kept. I said, you have to face that thing that is. I said, that's the devil trying to steal your blessing. But it will not succeed in Jesus' name. Tap your neighbor, say, we are victorious. Tell your neighbor, say, you are victorious by the blood of the Lamb. I want you to hear me tonight, God's people. The person that we are dealing with, our adversary, is a defeated foe. It's important you know this. Because you know some people go into spiritual warfare with the idea that they want to conquer Satan. No! He's already defeated. What God expects from you is to enforce. Say enforce. Stop them and say, I am an enforcement agent. Enforcement officer rather. Tap it and say, I am an enforcement officer. I know that Stephanie will know what I'm talking about. Amen. When you see a policeman is supposed to be what? An enforcer of what? The law. So look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, we know the law. We know what the law says. Satan has been bruised and put under my feet. Say, I am the enforcement officer. Tap your neighbor, say, enforce your victory. That's your job, my brother. That's your job, my sister. That's our call. And God will empower you to do the needful in the name of Jesus. It's important that we have this understanding that our enemy has been subdued. Glory be to God. Number six. The sixth thing you must understand about spiritual warfare is that the spiritual realm, I like this one, is much more real than the physical realm. Listen. There is a realm that is beyond the physical. Can you see electromagnetic waves? No. Can you see radio waves? No. Gamma rays, X-rays? No. Glory be to God. But does that deny the existence? No. The fact that you can't see the spiritual realm does not mean that it's not real. Listen, these are insights. These are knowledge that you must know. I know that spiritual warfare is real. And I know that the spiritual realm is real. It's real. Amen. In fact, the spiritual realm is much more real than the physical realm. It's much more real. That's why the Bible says, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war against the flesh. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 17 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are what? Not seen. There is a way you can look at the unseen realm through the eyes of faith. You know, the Bible says, faith calleth. What does it call? The things that be not as though they were. Romans 4:17. Can you see faith? No. But does that deny the existence? No. Stop your neighbor saying, you need to know that the spiritual realm is much more real
You know, somebody was saying things that somebody said, the devil is a figment of somebody of people's imagination, and I was just laughing. I was just laughing. Hell is a figment. Hell is a state of the mind. He said, heaven is a state of, listen, these things, the spiritual dimension is real. You know, there was a story in 2 Kings chapter 6, when enemy came to the territory of Elisha, and the servant said, my master, we are surrounded. What did Elisha do? He said, God opened his eyes, that he can what? See. When God opened the eyes of the servant, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 11 to 18, he saw chariots of fire and horses. You know that once he saw that, his fear disappeared. Look at the neighbor and say, they that are with you are more than those who are against you. I'm trying to remember this scripture. I don't know where it is. Where the Assyrians came against Israel and God sent one angel. Say one angel. One angel one night killed 185,000 people. Soldiers. One what? Now, think of what Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane. When they came with soldiers, he said, there is no match. If I ask my father now for 10 legions, is it 10 or 12? I think it's 12. 12 legions of angels. Because Alagba Peter, say Alagba Peter. He drew his sword. He said, master, they won't carry you. I don't need this, your sword. Because Jesus knew. He knew that the spiritual realm was much more real than the physical. He said, don't you think I can? I will ask my father. You know what 12,000 legion of angels is? Hello? You know the man that was possessed with how many legions? Let's even do Bible study now. Or Bible quiz. Hello? Are you here? Mark chapter 5. Madman of Gadarene. He was possessed with how many legion? A legion. What's a legion? A legion is about 6,000. So multiply that. 12 legions. Hello? That's like 72,000 what? 72 what? If one angel can kill 185 soldiers, the population of the whole earth is over 7 billion. Listen, under one night, all the earth can be wiped out with that 72,000. Are you here tonight? Are you here tonight? Tap in and say, the spiritual realm is more real than what you can see. You see, many of us, we get too carried away with the physical. We are so engrossed with the physical. Usually when someone, a loved one, passes on, most of the time, people are so engrossed with the physical. Most of the time. And you know, at times, some of the tears that we share, some of the things we say, is more physical, emotional things to you. Amen, somebody. If you look at those things from the spiritual point of view, you know that this person has gone to a better place if the person is in Christ. Hello, somebody? You know that the person is busy rejoicing and happy at bliss. Listen, it is we that they are pitied. Yeah. The Lord will help you. See one bear. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody in the house. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. How can dying be gain? But you die in Christ. Glory be to God. Look at the devil and say, you can't afford to miss heaven. You see, what people call a battle, what people call excitement, enjoyment that they are doing on this side of the divide can never be compared to eternity. Can never. Say never, somebody. Number 7. The spiritual realm controls the physical realm. These are very important truths you must know.
The spiritual realm controls what?
The physical realm.
That's to tell you that the spiritual realm is superior to the physical realm. I'm going to give you biblical examples. Jesus walked into the church, the synagogue, Luke 13, from verse 10 to 13. There was a woman who was bound with the spirit of infirmity, 18 years. Say bound. She was what? Bent over. She could not stand straight. She had been walking like this. Look at me. Like this for 18 years. Now, if you look at it from the physical point of view, say, she's bent over. But there was a spiritual reason behind the bent over. That's where I'm going. The moment Jesus rebuked the spirit, say spirit, of what? Infirmity, she straightened up. That's to tell you that the spiritual realm controls the physical. Listen, I'm sure she will have gone for different solutions, naturally, humanly speaking. She still remained bent over until Jesus attacked the matter spiritually. Say spiritually. It's important for us to realize that the spiritual realm controls the physical realm. The spiritual realm controls what? Look at another example, Acts 16. Paul was in a place called Philippi. You can read from verse 16 to 32. There was a girl there that was possessed with the spirit of divination. She could, it's like foretelling, spirit of foretelling, telling you what is going to happen. Now, you know, that's why I tell people, the fact that somebody can predict the future does not mean speak on the spirit of God. In fact, for many days, she was saying, following Paul and Barnabas, these men are what? Servants of the Most High God that show unto us the way of salvation. What she was saying, was it true or false? It was true. But listen, the fact that she's saying what is true does not mean that she's speaking by the Spirit of God. That's where I'm going. Until one day, say one day, Paul got angry, turned back. He rebuked that spirit and cast it out. Now, listen, the Bible did not tell us of any manifestation. For you to know that the moment you took authority, our ability to foretell things disappeared. That's where our owners became angry. And they went to grab Paul. You have spoiled my business, Jehovah. You have spoiled business. The whole city was turned upside down. Listen, I'm trying to tell you that the spiritual controls what? Paul did something spiritual and he affected what? The physical. So look at your neighbor and tap and say the spiritual realm controls the physical realm. I remember the story of a young missionary girl who went to this village to preach Christ to them. But there was this very powerful medicine man in that village that everybody revered and sort of like worshiped. And they said, well, no problem. We accept this, your God, under one condition. I'm challenging you to a contest. Let's go to the village square. So they named the date. The man came, sat on a mat, and after some, metering some things, he began to levitate. In other words, he rose from the floor and stood in the air. In the open, gaze of, see power. Don't say see power. When that little girl saw that, everybody was already amazed. That will be it. She was saying, oh God, what do I need to do? Holy Spirit, please help me. The Spirit of God just said, go and lay your hand on the head and command the spirit that is able to come out. So in the open glare, she went there, laid her hands on the head and said, I command the foul spirit to come out. The man dropped like a sack, a back of sack, pow, on the floor. Once people saw that, I said, he said, no way. It is this God, the God that can bring this man down. Nobody has succeeded doing this since all these years. Is this God that we will serve? You can see that the spiritual controls what? Top of your neighbor, say, never forget that. The reason I share these things with you, because if you are going to win our warfare spiritually, if you are going to become a success,
in spiritual warfare, you need to know this truth. The Bible says in John 8:32, you will know the truth, and the truth you know shall what? Tell your neighbor, say you are stepping into a new dimension of freedom. Come on, say it like you say, you are stepping into a new dimension of freedom. Hear me, God's people. God's intention for us is to be able to take charge of spiritual matters without having to call on anybody. Amen? Because God has given you basically everything you need. So, how do I become a winner in my spiritual warfare? How do I win in the battles of life? Listen, if you are going to win in the battles of life, there's a way you need to fight. Hello? There are some important strategies and principles that you need to know. To be successful in spiritual warfare requires that you have access to these truths, requires that you understand these principles. There is nobody here who is beyond the capacity of using these principles and maximizing them. And I see you taking charge. I said, I see you taking charge. By the special grace of God, we are going to be looking at some very important principles that can help you and I to becoming a winner. Because I see winners arise from this mountain. I see winners arising. In fact, God told me this before I came up for the service. In whatever area of your life that it seems that the enemy is having the upper hand, the tide is turning. You are going to begin to dominate. You are going to begin to rule in that area in the name of Jesus. These truths will set you free and put you on the rock of grace, and you will never fall in the name of Jesus. So what are the things that will make me to win my battles? What are the things that will help me to be a winner in the spiritual battles of life? Listen, the battles that you are facing right now, the spiritual warfare that you are going through right now, you will win as you begin to apply these keys. Jesus said, behold, I give you the keys. Matthew 16:19. I give you the keys of the kingdom. These are keys to making us win in our spiritual warfare. And that will be your testimony in Jesus' name. We have about 12 of them. We'll probably look at some today. Maybe one or two. Then we'll pick it up next week. The first key that will help you to wage spiritual warfare successfully is for you to know what you are carrying. You know, there's this saying that is very common with the average policeman. When they stop you, they say, okay, what do you carry? Look at your neighbor and tap them and say, do you know what you carry? This is a very important key. If you are going to win your battle spiritually, you must know what you carry. What do I mean by that? You must know the kind of weapons you are carrying. Listen. It's almost like somebody is coming with a pistol against you, and you are coming with a submachine gun. Say submachine. Pistol. How many bullets are there? Maybe five or I think about six or so. Depending on the kind of you have to be like this. You have to be targeting it. Amen, somebody. Before you can hit the target. Do you know there are some sophisticated? Some of you watch war movie, you know. Once the guy begins to release, he doesn't need to look at the target. The bullet will find the... Do you know there are weapons like that? I don't need to put it there. Hey, where is he? Hey, I'm trying to get you. It's when you're carrying a pistol, you're doing like this. You know, this one, you just spray. Say spray. It will find its target on its own. It will find what its target. I was watching the documentary, was showing some different kinds of ammunition. There are some bullets. When it enters into someone, it dissolves there. To find it is you know that that's not it's not ordinary bullets. Hello, somebody. Tap and say you are carrying sophisticated weapons. Ah, listen. If you know what you are carrying, you will stop becoming afraid of being. You will stop being afraid, rather. When we talk about spiritual warfare, many Christians take cover. Say, you know, listen. Whether you stay jegeli or jegeli is not the issue. Even if you stay jegeli, the enemy will come. The best type of attack is offense. Those of us who like football, if your team is a defensive-minded football, you know that football team, God will help you. They will tell you that it's better to be what? Offensive-minded than defensive-minded. Our guys, they want to defend the back. Listen, what wins championship is not defending like that. You must be able to put the ball inside the net. Hello? Tapping and say the best form of attack is offense. That's why you need to know what you carry. What you carry is not ordinary. What you carry is not cheap. We carry mighty weapons. That's what the Bible calls it. It says mighty through God. 2 Corinthians 10:4. Mighty. Your weapons are, listen, they are mightier than Satan's weapon. Are you hearing me tonight? If you are here, say amen. We have superior firepower than Satan. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Some of your weapons are even defensive in nature. The shield of faith is a defensive armor. Hello, somebody. The sword of the Spirit is what? An offensive armor. Listen, what God has given you for this warfare is more than enough. Think about the name of Jesus. Think about the blood of Jesus. Think about the word of God. Think about faith. Think about the anointing. Think about the word of your testimony. Think about, the power of love. Tap your neighbor and say, you are well equipped. You know one of the reasons David defeated Goliath? David knew what he was carrying. He knew who he was. Or let me say it this way. He knew him, whom he belonged to. You know, Paul was saying on the voyage to Italy, Acts 27, verse 25, I think 25 or 24, he said, there stood by me an angel of the Lord, whose I am, whom I serve. You need to know what you're carrying. Tap your neighbor, say, you are armed and dangerous. Tell him, I say, you are armed and dangerous. You are a threat to Satan. You're a terror to Satan. That's who you are. Because of the... Listen. Do you know that you can do something here and it can have a ripple effect in the world? You can release one missile from here and it will work in even US or UK. Listen. When you say the name of Jesus, it does not just register in the physical, it registers in hell. When you say, in the name, all demons are taking cover. Hey! In the day, everybody. Listen, I'm trying to paint the picture for you. When you call that name, it's not only heaven that responds. Hell bows and trembles. Think about this. I'm using a name in three worlds is having a powerful effect. Look at your neighbor, say your weapons are not cheap. Say your weapons are not ordinary. Do you know that there's no distance in the realm of the spirit? Do you know that? You can take your phone like this, and you have prayed with people who are on the other side, across continents, and effect has happened. Listen, your weapons are powerful. Stop looking at what you carry. You are the one that don't know. Amen. So today you are knowing. Amen. Somebody. Tap it up and say, I am in the know now. Don't play with what you see. I even think at times the devil knows the magnitude of what we carry that we ourselves. There was a man who was in the old court. I read his book some years ago. He was testifying. He was telling where he was in the realm of the old court. And he said there was one day after he got saved. Well, it was before he got saved. It was one of their meetings. He said they mistakenly called because he tried to attack a Christian. And he saw that he couldn't attack him. He said, I call, and he mentioned, he said, as he called Jesus, Satan fell from his seat. Wow. Everybody just scattered. He said, Satan said, never in your life. Don't mention that, devil. He said, don't mention that, devil. Say that, righteous man. You can see wisdom. Because he knows the fire. Say the fire. He knows the venom. Of calling that name. He said, that's when he started thinking, why is your God this hungry? Why is your God this ferocious? Why is he? He said, don't use this name. Oh God, there's something about this man. Hello, somebody. He said, that's when he started thinking, this thing that this guy, there's something higher than this thing you're boasting about. The Bible says he has given him a name. That is above what every other name. That at the name of Jesus, how many knees? When David stood before Goliath, he didn't come in. He said, I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, that you defile. And he went further. He said, this day I will cut off your head. You know, whenever he was speaking in his name. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, know what you carry. This is a very important truth you must understand. You cannot become a winner. You cannot win in spiritual warfare if you don't realize what you have. You are not at a disadvantage, you are at a great advantage. Hello? I said, hello, somebody. Tap it up and say, you are armed and dangerous. You know the Bible was saying in Psalm 82, verse 5, they know not, neither do they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the heart are what? Out of place. Once somebody does not know he's walking in darkness, that's one of Satan's strategies, to keep you in darkness. But I'm declaring today, light shines. The Bible says the light shineth and the darkness comprehended. Darkness cannot subdue light. It is light that triumphs over darkness. That is where you will triumph over every work of the enemy in the name of Jesus. If you believe that, say amen. That's why I love that lady was this Sinatra who said, I know who I am. Captain said, do you know who you are? So, we are a chosen generation, God's own. All that, I know who I am. Ask your neighbor, do you know who you are? Let's be the favor to know. Listen, you must know the weapons you carry if you're going to win. That's the thing. You must know it. The second thing that is crucial if you're going to wage spiritual warfare, second key is that you must have faith in the weapons you carry. It's not just enough to know it, you must have faith. Say faith. What is faith? You must have confidence in the admonition that's given. You must have faith in the fact that when I use it, hey, what Jesus says is going to happen, that's what is going to happen. Hello, somebody. Luke 1:45, the Bible says, blessed is she that what? Do you know that it is your believing in your ammunition that makes it work? It is believing in the weapons that you carry that makes it work. I didn't used to understand this in the early part of my Christian experience, but as I started having faith in the weapons of my warfare, and listen, once you exercise faith, you will see the effect. I remember years ago when a young lady came to see me. Well, when I go there, she was telling me about, you know, the challenge she was when she was in Air Coma, the polytechnic. She had a challenge when she came to U.S. She said, what was the challenge? I mean, young lady, beautiful lady, anywhere she went, you know, naturally, a man will probably be gravitating towards a lady, maybe a fine lady, image of it. Let's say that way. Now, that's probably normal, amen, somebody. But the abnormal part, say the abnormal part. The abnormal part is that they will not only come to her, ask her hand out, say, I'm not interested. They will be hunting all over the place. And I mean, when I say hunt, I mean hunt. Amen, somebody. What's happening? I'm going to be threatening, doing all kinds of things, putting her at great risk. She has been attacked. Because of that, she said, I noticed when I was in Epoch, when I got to U.S., the same thing. In fact, she narrated an ordeal of somebody who was on a case. While she was talking to my daughter, I said, this is not ordinary. We know that naturally a guy may be after a fight, yeah, he may say, and well, say, how are you? She said, my hands are full. No show food. Even if it's a very stubborn person, after first and second, you probably find another way. It's probably the other fine boys that he is. But this one, they will be. They will be petrified, they will be troubling. Amen. It's not ordinary. Hello, sir. So I said, it's not ordinary. I've been thinking about it too. God help me to pray a single prayer with her. Do you know that was the last? This person stayed four years and before she finished her school. There was nothing like that from that point in time. She's happily married now. Hello, somebody. So how do you think it's going to work? Because you see, I've used it before. I had faith in it and I saw it work. You see, if you have not exercised your weapons, the weapons you have, how will you know it works? You've got to put faith in it. You must have faith in what he has given you. You must have faith in it. Now, what, like they say in my language, when we do it the way you do, you cannot but get the results. Look at your neighbor and tap and say, have faith. That was the problem of the disciples. Matthew 10:1, Jesus gave them power to cast out all devils and to heal all diseases. They went out, they exercised the power. Oh, they had a good time. Then they went somewhere else in Matthew 17. They met with this kind, say this kind. And they came to meet Jesus, verse 19. They said, why could we not cast this devil out? Jesus answered them, verse 20, because of your own belief. You know what unbelief is? Faithlessness. He was saying, where is your faith? Tell me, I empowered you. Look at them and say, believe in the weapons to carry. The Bible says in Isaiah 7 verse 9, if you don't believe, surely you'll not be established. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 20, believe the Lord your God, what will happen? You'll be established. Believe his prophets also, so shall you what? Let's put our faith. Tap it over and say, I believe. Say, I believe. Say, Lord, help my humbling. Believing is with your heart, not your head. Bible says, with a heart man believeth. Unto what? Man believeth unto righteousness. with the mouth, confession is made unto what? Salvation. You believe it. Say, I believe it. You know, there's a saying, say, God said it, I believe it. That what? I believe it. Believe in the weapon. The weapon of the name of Jesus. The weapon of the blood of Jesus. The weapon of faith. The weapon of the word of God. Believe in it. Believe in the weapon of righteousness. Truth. Believe in the weapon of your confession. They overcame him. How? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You see, it's when you believe in the weapon that he has given you that it works. The reason Jesus could not do anything in his own time was because of unbelief. It wasn't that the power was not there. The power, in fact, the Bible says he could not. Mark 6 verse 5. He could not. Not he will not. I hope you know there's a difference. Not he will not. In other words, not that he didn't want to, but he could. That means he tried, but unbelief was in the air. And that's true. I've been to places where you can almost smell unbelief and catch it and put it in your pocket. Hello, somebody? Because of the way they see people, the way they be looking at you, you know, somebody. I mean, how can you see unbelief? It's not a physical thing, but spiritually, you sense it. Do you know that? That's what I told you about the fact that spiritual realms are real. There's some spiritual atmosphere you get to, it's toxic. As a business, it's very hard, it's very hard to preach, to minister. You have your anointing must be high. Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. It's not that you cannot. I don't know whether you understand what I'm talking about. It's that you sense the contention. So what's happening? That's why you must be well prepared. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody. You must be well prepared. But there are some places it's like, you know, it's wet. Stay wet. Even if an eaglet comes, fire will be all over the place. Because the atmosphere is warm. Glory be to God. Look at them and say, believe in what you have. If you want to win your warfare spiritually, you've got to believe in the weapons you have. He's giving you, but you have to believe in it. Some people believe in the weapons of Satan more than their own. They say, I was saying something, and I was laughing. I said, how come? He said, he was believing those people. I said, he had more faith in Billy the Jew, but Paul Laguna. Someone said, what is that? Don't, if you don't know, don't bother him. It's a Yoruba incantation. It's a common thing they say, something Yoruba. He had more faith in that than the name. I said, where is Billy Billy? The name with. Everywhere you disappear. You don't know what you carry. You put faith in it. You melt like a pack of cats. The name! Glory be to God. Let me give you the thought of how we close on this. What does it take to win in the spiritual battles of life? I'm going to win my warfare spiritually. Number three, you need to know how to deploy these weapons effectively. Say deploy. Deploy means you must know how to use it. Listen, you can have something, but you may not know how to use it. Hello? I think I told this story before when I was doing my IT. I think that was when I was 400 level, when I went to Kano to stay with a very close friend of my dad. This man was licensed to carry a gun. We live in a Muslim enclave. We were probably the only Christians within that group. So at times, on Saturdays, we'll come out, we'll be polishing the gun. They'll be so, in the open play of everybody and reason it of anybody.
Hello, somebody in the house.
Unknown to many of them, even except those of us in the house, we knew him. It's not that he was an expert in shooting the gun, the image.
Hello, somebody.
But you know, the fact that I'm brandishing the gun, not that telling you, you better don't come to this gun, Daniel. I can't remember the name they used to call him. I can't remember the other name. He kept going to women. Don't go to that area.
But unknown to them,
the deployment of that gun is another story. So you can have ammunition. You can have weapons. You may not know how to use it.
Hello?
If you're going to win your spiritual battles, you must know how to deploy those weapons effectively. Amen?
Can I have an amen in the house? The proof of the pudding is in the eating. If you have something and you don't know how to use it, how can it be of benefit or help to you? So the deployment is important. We need to know how to deploy these weapons. The weapon of the Lord of Jesus. The weapon of the name of Jesus. The weapon of faith. The weapon of the word of God. There is a way. That means there is a way. You know, Jesus empowered the disciples in Luke 10 verse 1. They came back from verse 17 to 19. They said, sir, the devils are... They came back with joy. They were rejoicing. They came back rejoicing. The devils were subject to us in your name. This thing is working. They deployed it. They came back with joy. And Jesus said, I beheld Satan fell as lightning from heaven. I saw him when he fell from his place of destiny. So he's a fallen angel. Amen. Top of the says he's a fallen angel. Ladies and gentlemen, it's important that we know how to deploy. Top of the know how to deploy. Deployment is very important. You know, maybe I'm going to close on this story. I'll pick it up from next week. How you deploy what you have. You can have strength. You can have an asset. If you don't know how to deploy it, it won't serve you of any use. Let me tell you this story. I know some of you have heard this story before. How about the story of the tortoise and the rabbit? You know, the rabbit of the ear was teasing the tortoise. There is slow animal. Just goes slow all over the place. You can't do anything. So, I challenge you to a race. I beat you. Tortoise, really? I know, because the tortoise will not also. They won't agree easily. So, he agreed to the race. And, of course, the D-Day came. They set out for the race. Of course. Blistering speed, the rabbit of the hare was gone. So when the hare looked back, where is that goose loma? I know it will be here. So he decided to take a nap somewhere. The rest of that is, I know, because that guy, he will take it tomorrow before he comes here. Let me be resting here. Unknown to the top, I mean to the hare, as he was resting, the Mr. Goslow, say Mr. Goslow, say slow and steady. Because that was the strategy of the slow and steady. Came, saw him snoring, didn't even bother to wake him. Went down slow and steady, crossed the finish line. By the time the rabbit woke up and decided to blister speed, he just met Mr. Tortoise there. He said, Oga, how you doing? He said, if I tell you, say, I go win you, say, you're telling me it's good slow. He said, no. He said, my strategy was what? Slow and steady, just what? Going to race. And of course, I know some of us, that's the only part of the story we know, but legend also says that because of what happened to Mr. Rabbit, he said, no, there must be a rematch. We must do this thing again. And this time around, I am ready for you. So, tortoise agreed for a rematch, say rematch. So they chose the day again. This time around, of course, Mr.
the rabbit did not make that stupid mistake in there. He said, I was careless. That's where you, but this time around, I'm not resting, I'm not sleeping. He took off like a house on fire. Of course, with his fastness and consistency, he beat Mr. Peppers. He was not telling me that. If I told you, being fast and consistent, we always beat slow and steady. Every day. I'm faster than you. That's my strategy. I was faster and consistent. You were slow and steady. But you know, after a while, say after a while, the doctor has been a very cunning and funny and myself. We have to do this race again. So the doctor said, no, this is what I'm going to do right now. I am going to change my strategy. He changed his own strategy. That's what I'm going to do. It's because of the way the race was formatted. Did not pay me. I will reformat it. Say reformat it. I will reformat in such a way that it will suit my core competence. Say core competence. In other words, where I know I'm strong. So he said, we are going to run this river under a different path now. This time we are going to cross a river. That's the new path. Not just running, but we'll cross a river, we'll get to the finishing line. So the year has said, yes, no problem, let's go for it, me and you. Of course, we started the race, the rabbit took off like he had to put. When the rabbit got to the river, he became, how will I cross this river now? He was thinking, was praying for me. It was like he was thinking that Dr. Spencer said, you still there? Yeah, okay. He jumped inside water and said, swing, wave to Baba, you, wave to Baba. Cross the remaining, he run dry the beach and won the race. Amen, somebody. I said, amen, God. So, Mr. Doctor says, you know, I told you that I'm going to change my strategy. I walk in my area of core competence. That's why I beat you. Change the strategy. That's why I won it. You know, because of the event, the first race, the rematch, another rerun, so they became friends. He said, there's no need for us to become friends. And when they became friends, he said, you know, on the second thought, we could still run this race, so I will get it better if we change our strategy. Change your strategy. He said, let's work as a team now. Don't let us work against one another. He said, oh, really? What do you mean? So, this is how we're going to do it. So, they had another race, the fourth one. Amen. So, but this time around, say this time around, when they took off, the rabbit carried the tortoise because they were working together as a team now. Another strategy. So carried him, they ran, got to the river, dropped the tortoise, yeah, fly me, entered the water, because you cannot swim, I can swim. Carried the hare, got to the other side, tortoise got off, rabbit took over, and they ran the race in a faster time, broke the record. What's the logic of the story? The logic of the story is that the strategy, say your strategy. Strategy is what wins what? Is what wins races or wins warfare. And it's the same thing. God has given us strategies, powerful strategies, in winning in the spiritual battles of life. I want you to know that whatever battle you are going through spiritually, you are going to win. These weapons that He has equipped you with will put you over in the name of Jesus. Let's rise up on our feet. I'll pick it up next week, Tuesday. I want you to lift up your right hand. Say, in the name of Jesus, I declare tonight that I walk in dominion. I walk in dominion. I have authority in the name of Jesus to tread upon serpents and scorpions and all over the power of the enemy. I will win in the battles of life that I'm going to right now. I have enough ammunition by Jehovah. I have been equipped to prevail in my spiritual battles. Where I have been dominated, I will begin to dominate. Where I have been subdued, I am taking over. I declare tonight that the tide is changing in my favor.
I am walking upon my high places. I am taking charge with the ammunitions that I have at my disposal. I am destined to win. And I declare tonight, I declare victory. I declare victory. I am triumphant. I am reigning and ruling and walking upon my high places. I resist and I stand against every area that the enemy is having a foothold in my life. I say no from henceforth. I say no from tonight. The light shines in darkness. The light overcomes darkness. I am overcoming. I am prevailing. I am prevailing in the name of Jesus. I am taking over. I receive total and complete liberty in the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands and begin to pray in the name of